It's Talk of the Town, 88.9 WLRY. Joining us now, we have Lancaster Police Chief Nick Snyder. Chief Snyder, welcome. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure.
Well, since we last spoke, you have released the annual report. I'm not going to ask you how often you release that, since it is an annual report.
That'd be a tough question. That's one of those trick questions.
Start off with a soft one there. But the annual report, how long does it take you to compile this?
Oh, geez. So I start asking my community services unit for some numbers and data probably around November, so I can get all the difficult part done, and they do an awesome job with that. They get me just all the stats, all the stops, all the calls. They start compiling that in November, and then right around, because it takes a while for those end-of-year numbers to pop in, so right around end of January, we start actually forming the report. And then our target date is always end of February, but usually it creeps into March because of real life.
Right, exactly. So it's kind of an ongoing process.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you don't want to put out something there that's inaccurate. That's probably the most important thing. Transparency is number one. So we want to make sure we have all the right numbers. And, you know, if we make a mistake, at least we make it in good faith. But I don't want to I definitely don't want to put out something that's inaccurate.
Well, if you watch any college sports, which I watch a lot of, you hear a lot of this word culture, establishing a culture, and that is something that you top off the Chief's report with.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that that's very important. You know, we've approached things a little bit differently the last couple of years, and, you know, we're still a police department. We're still going to do law enforcement. That's our number one priority, but I think if you got to spend 8 or 10 hours of your day here as an employee, you got to at least enjoy being here, and you got to love your career. So we really have pushed all the focus back to the officers and dispatchers and professional staff that work here. And I could talk all day about it. Nobody really want to hear about it, but we focused a lot on the internal structure here with the people.
Mm-hmm. And a statistic that I think it's pretty exciting, actually. Burglaries trending down in 23.
Absolutely, yeah. So part of that data, you know, the first number that always pops out to me there in November is where our calls for service are at. And by the end of December this year, it was 70,000, which is kind of a peak, and that was astonishing. But what was interesting is over the last couple of years, we really stressed neighborhood interactions, neighborhood area watches. It's just more proactive way of policing, getting out there and trying to find the crime before it starts. And to give an idea of the listeners what that means is around 2021, we were averaging around 2,000 or 3,000 area watches a year, meaning officers in your neighborhoods, in your alleys, you know, looking for suspicious activity. In 2023, we hit 12,354. So we quadrupled that activity. And in turn, while it's a little too early, I probably want a couple more of those annual reports to come through. But and in turn, our burglaries went from a three-year preceding average of right around 344 a year to 118.
Wow.
So I'm hoping that data is correlates. I'm hoping that it is you know, dependent on the other. But you know, we'll wait for a few more annual reports to make sure that that's accurate and that we can come out and actually tout that.
Yeah, exciting news there. So at one point in the city, there is about a burglary a day?
Correct, yeah. You know, actually when I was in the Detective Bureau, we used to work about 120 to 130 cases a year. And I would say between the five or six of us, we each had almost 100 burglaries. So we were probably right around 70 or 80 burglaries apiece a year, which takes you to, you know, that 350 to 400 range. And that was just the norm. Now, that isn't now. And, you know, I'd hate to get out there and be a sociological expert and say why, but I can tell you that you know, it's my philosophy, at least, that we're instilling here, that proactivity and being out there and being seen does deter crime. So we're going to hold on to that until the numbers prove otherwise.
Yeah, and as you brought up, another important piece is help from the community. And what would you say to people that, you know, say, well, I don't want to get involved, I saw something that looked suspicious, should they call in?
Absolutely, yeah. And I think in today's day and age, it's easier now more than ever to be anonymous if that's what you choose. And we try to attach that clause to every single public release that we do on crime. We put that out there that if you have information, please let us know, and that you can remain anonymous. Because if we know right off the bat that you want to remain anonymous, you know, there's certain questions that we ask and certain things that we can do to keep it that way. Now,
sure,
if you just show up on station and say you witnessed a homicide, that's another story. that's something that we got to deal with there. But when people just want to give tips about the neighborhood, or they saw something suspicious, or they saw something in their neighbor's backyard that they didn't think felt quite right, they can always remain anonymous, and we can help guide people through that. And even if that's not the case, we can talk them through what to expect and what that information means when they give it to us.
Now, a while back in the news, swatting came up, which of course is the practice of people that are calling in intentionally just to send out law enforcement when there is nothing really going on. Many instances of that in the city?
Yeah, you know, it happens. It absolutely happens. I don't have, you know, it'd be hard for me to give hard data on that because it's so randomized. It's usually people that find success in doing it once and then they'll try it a couple more times. So it's not necessarily indicative of, like I said before, sociological behavior that's just an overwhelming problem. So we get those, I'd say, right around 10 times a year, somewhere in that range. And unfortunately, it does cost a lot of resources. When someone describes an event that would require a SWAT presence or special response team presence, you're talking about calling in officers that are on call, having them come in from home, paying that overtime, having the patrol division that's already working in that area trying to take care of the alleged problem, and then bringing in the equipment needed for whatever the allegation is. So if somebody's saying there's a bunch of, you know, gunshots going off in a house and people screaming, we're going to send officers first. They're going to get themselves in between victims and suspects as fast as they can. But then we're also going to try to get armor and equipment in between them too. So if we don't know whether the situation's real or not, we have to act as if it's real.
Right.
And that requires an awful lot of resources. So unfortunately, it costs quite a bit. And that's just the nature of the business. And it's not an everyday thing for us, thankfully, but we do see it.
Now, if the person that does that gets caught, what's the penalty for something like that?
That would be completely up to the prosecutor, but typically what we would do on the front end facing with that suspect is charge them for some type of misuse of emergency services. And there's several codes there that you can charge with. And for the sake of being criticized and being wrong on which one I would choose, it's different on every situation.
Yeah.
So there's the Ohio Revised Code has a whole subsection of codes that would apply to something like that. There's, if you're on scene and you're claiming something happened, there's misconduct at an emergency scene, there's making false alarms, there's just several types. And then there's certain tiers. So within the same charge, like let's say somebody just did a swatting call. Well, if our officers are trying to assess whether that's real or not, and unfortunately somebody gets injured because we're under the impression that it's real or whatever, well, that injury increases the tier of the penalty for the swatting call. So that could bump up to a felony, or it could bump up to prison time. And there's just several areas there, and there's a lot of flexibility with those charges.
Yeah, a lot of factors involved there for sure. Lancaster Police Chief Nick Snyder joining us as we talk about their annual report. Where is this available, by the way? Where can people look at this?
Sure. If you go to our website, which is fairly easy to find, you can either just Google Lancaster Police Department. We're usually the first link that comes up. You know, even despite much larger Lancasters like Lancaster, California, Lancaster, Pennsylvania, we're typically the first one that pops up. Or you can go to the physical website address, which is police.ci.lancaster.oh.us, and it will take you to our site. I think the easiest thing is just to Google Lancaster Police Department. Then if there's several tabs you can click, but under resources or annual reports, you will find each year's annual report. I think we go all the way back to the late teens on our website.
Very good. Again, Chief Snyder joining us. And you were talking about the presence of authority or police being a deterrent, and traffic stops are up in the report. Yeah.
Yeah, and a lot of times I'm hesitant on saying that depending on the crowd. That does not mean that we're out there to get you with no license plate light or, you know, an expired tag by maybe half a day. We're not out there doing that. The traffic stops that we emphasize here at our agency are accident-causing violations. So really what we want the officers doing is being out in the neighborhoods and out on the thoroughfares, and if they see the speeding, the red lights, the, you know, the street racing, all of that, the things that cause accidents, that's what we will stop and cite people for. And while I certainly realize we went from around 2,500 a year, I believe, and we've ramped that up over the last couple of years to about 4,500 a year. And while that's great and that's fine, I do realize that that still doesn't hit every single person's neighborhood and every single person's area. And we'll continue to work on that. But we are making a very, very over effort to find those accident-causing violations.
Well, talking about street racing recently, that was in the news. I think it was the state of Ohio. There was some new legislation about street racing and also so-called trick driving, like doing donuts in a parking lot or something like that. Yeah. Is that something you see a lot of in the city?
We do, you know, and mostly that is a sociological population there. It definitely is mostly the younger generation, so kids that are just driving and or very young drivers that just got into their first job and have some money to soup up their car, et cetera. And we don't discourage those hobbies. We want people to become knowledgeable and educated, and we love people that love their cars. The issue is when you're out in a public area doing that. And in no way am I saying go out in the county doing that. I'm not saying that. But there are several closed course areas that you can, use your car in that way. There are several private lots that would allow that under law. You just have to know the right statutes, and you have to know the right businesses that have the availability and permits to do that. But certainly, you know, shopping center lots and Memorial Drive are not the place to do that. And so that's what a lot of those statutes are going after, because, those drivers are putting other drivers in danger.
Lancaster Police Chief Nick Snyder, our special guest today on Talk of the Town. Let's talk a little bit about the Detective Bureau.
Sure. Our Detective Bureau, I'm a little bit biased, obviously, but I think it's one of the best detective bureaus that I know of. It's interesting. So we used to have up to 7 detectives in that bureau. We had 6 detectives when I was back there. We now have 5 detectives in it, and I think at first, well, that may shock people. What we've done is found a way to make that work. So when I was talking earlier about having, 125, 130 cases a year, what we do now is screen the cases out for solvability. So, for instance, if an officer takes a burglary report and there's no suspect and no evidence and no leads and nothing to follow up on, that used to be a burglar that we would still assign. We'd still give that to a detective. And unfortunately, what that does is when you pile those cases on the detectives, and they average around 125, 130 a year, you're taking time away from the cases that have solvability, that have a suspect on video or have a lead or have a piece of physical evidence that can be looked into. So what we've done is we screen cases based on solvability, and that by no means exchanges into if you have a burglary at your house and there's no leads or no suspects that it'll never go to a detective. That's certainly not true. If a lead develops or if an officer's following up on that and they find something on video, we'll certainly get that reassigned back to a detective. But we allow the officers to kind of grow their knowledge and grow their experience, and our officers are definitely good enough to do this, where they get to work those burglaries that don't necessarily have many leads to them, or those felonies that just don't have anything to follow up on. So in turn, our detective caseload really shrinks, to around the 75 case a year range, but all those cases have solvability. So they get to pour a lot more time into those cases where there are people that need to be criminally charged and need to be investigated. So it has really worked out a lot, and I think that's one of the reason their closure rate is so high. I think they average right around 80% a year. This is one of the mistakes that we made in our report this year that I said, to err is human, but we didn't get all the closures if a felony happens, say, in December, right, and we write this report in March, some of the investigations are so complex that they're still not closed in March because we're still out trying to find suspects, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So that closure rate came in right around the mid-70s. Well, if we run the real numbers, we're probably averaging about 85% closure rate, and that's a lot. You know, if you're taking in 75 cases and you're closing 85% of them, you're doing a pretty darn good job, and that's what our detective bureau averages. So they're a good group of detectives back there.
Well, another facet of the Lancaster Police Department that perhaps we don't hear enough about, that's the special response team.
Absolutely. So our special response team, I think people would commonly refer to them as the SWAT team. The terms are basically interchangeable. There's no real reason to call them one or the other. To be honest, the reason ours is called Special Response Team is that's just what it was always called. But essentially, the name says it all. They provide a specialized response to dynamic incidents. So if officers engage with a suspect or a residence that has a very, very high threat threshold, so for instance, people inside have guns and they're shooting outside, or you know, there's a high level target inside that has a violent history and, you know, has a history of assaulting police officers, et cetera, we will call our special response team. And what that team is they're still officers that respond. Everybody on the team is an officer, but they also have a hostage negotiator element attached to them. They have two team leaders and a team commander and about 12 people on the actual team. And they have specialized equipment, specialized armor, to basically, when I said earlier, put themselves in between the victims and the suspect. They have the specialty equipment to do that. So if we have to go into a house that's pretty dynamic threat-wise, they're better equipped and better trained to do that. So that team has a lot of experience on it, a lot of training on it. And in turn, what we do is all the training that they get, all the extra training that they get, they just don't keep that on the team and use it on the team. Like I said before, all those officers are officers. So they come back to the PD, and in roll call and in break time and in-service training, they give that training back to the officers that are on the road. So we try to share and use that information internally as much as we can.
Well, and finally, coming up, I know an event you look forward to each year. That's Kids and Cops Day coming up May 18th at Ohio University Lancaster.
Oh, yeah. We love that every year. That'll be great. I can't say enough good about that. I can't say enough about how that benefits all the children that get to get there and get an education on what we do. And it really just allows them to take the training wheels off, honestly, and get up close to us and ask the questions they want to ask. You know, it's not like they're on a tour at the PD. It's not like they're in a classroom and kind of have to watch what the questions they are that they're asking. They're showing up with their parents. They get to interact right there with us. They get to see all the equipment right there, and they get to ask all the important questions, and we're more than happy to answer those. And then on top of that, we throw all the fun stuff on there, like the dunk tank and the helicopters and all of that. So it's a really good time. We love doing it, maybe more than the kids. I don't know. We'll have to find out. But I know we all love attending that. It's a great time.
Well, and it kind of goes back to the very first point we talked about, which is establishing a culture.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think in this job, you know, it's no secret to get that if you look around at the climate, that it would be easy to be disgruntled and easy to make a decision not to do this job just because of some of the public opinion. But that's not the case here at Lancaster. These officers love their job. They love their career. I think the more and more that we show that we support each other and that we have things in place to support each other, and quite honestly, we realize that we all make mistakes, and so long as our heart's in the right place, we're good with that. We learn from that. So I think something like this, you know, it's hard to the officers want to go to this. It's almost to the point where we have to tell officers, hey, you know, we got enough. We got this covered. We got enough, because they just love engaging that much. So this is a great opportunity for us to get out there and just talk to the community and interact with them.
Fun stuff. That's coming up on May 18th, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Always big event out there at Ohio University Lancaster. And, of course, that event is free to all. And
absolutely. Free to all. And I believe they have snacks there, too. And yeah, we usually hand out some swag and stuff like that. So it's a great thing to go with your children, for sure.
Great time to interact.
Yeah.
Lancaster Police Chief Nick Snyder joining us, our special guest on Talk of the Town. Always a pleasure to talk with you, and thanks for your service to the community.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I love it.